It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's time to just jump right in, and I would ask my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our opening prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we recognize that this is your day, a day that you set aside to be recognized for your creation and as the Creator. Lord, we thank you for giving us this time to have the Sabbath, to be able to open up your word. We pray now for your spirit to teach us what you would have us to know so that we can gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask that you will touch the lips of our pastor, fill his mouth with your words only, and allow him to be filled with your spirit as he teaches us the things we need to know. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time for the coming.
our topic today is the 70-week prophecy. Let's pray. Dear Father, we want to thank you so much. Thank you for welcoming us on this Sabbath day, this early morning Sabbath. We pray for the Spirit of God to dwell with us at this time, and we ask that you will please come and abide with us in Jesus' name. Amen. 70-week prophecy, brothers and sisters. Let's start with verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and we're starting with verse 20. It says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." And then he goes on to tell him. So I want to pause. Notice he says in verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." And prior to that, it said that the man Gabriel, whom he had seen at the vision in the beginning. So what is that talking about? Well, that's talking about Daniel 8, verses 13 through 17. Look at verse 16. "And I heard Daniel 8, a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand this vision." So the reason why this is important, brothers and sisters, is that Daniel 8:14 said, "Unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." Daniel didn't know what that meant. So God sent Gabriel to help him understand. So now in the next chapter, while he's praying, the man Gabriel, the same one in the chapter before, okay, who had been sent to help him understand, is now giving him the understanding. So the reason why that's important is because it shows that whatever we're about to tackle here is connected to the 2300-day prophecy, okay? That's why it's important that we understand that. So let me back up. After God said in the previous chapter, "Unto 2,300 days," Daniel didn't understand. God sent Gabriel to help him understand. That was Daniel 8, 14, 15, 16, and 17. But he didn't at that time give him the full understanding. So it continues into chapter 9, and he's praying and confessing his sins and so on and so forth. And then it says, "While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen at the vision at the beginning," that's in Daniel 8, okay, "being caused his wife to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." So that should, again, you've got to link the 70 weeks with the 2300-day prophecy, and I just helped you, the Lord just helped us rightly divide the word of truth. It's the same angel. He had already been promised to give him understanding regarding the 2300 days, and now he said, "I am now coming to give you this understanding." Okay? This is very important, brothers and sisters. Most evangelicals, they take the last week of the 70-week prophecy and they catapult it all the way to the end of time, which hasn't happened yet. And that was a way of saying that Antichrist hasn't come yet. But the Antichrist is already here, brothers and sisters. Antichrist simply means in place of Christ. There can be many Antichrists, but the Pope is one of them. And so to take the heat off the Pope, a Jesuit priest came up with this view that created this doctrine of a catapulted last week. He passed it on to evangelicals, 1600s. I forget exactly the dates. I have it in a book that I wrote. I'll be publishing it at some point. I've got to pull it out of the archives on the computer and, republish it. It was never mass produced. I should say, but we have the ability to do that now. And in my book, I actually have the name of the Jesuit priest. I have his book. I have, it's in Latin, of course, but I have the chronology of who he passed it on to. I have who brought it to America. All of that is in that book, and it shows you how they came up with this secret rapture that's in the future, that's not really going to happen because there's no secret rapture. Jesus is coming in power and great glory. The lightning will shine from the east to the west. Just as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says in Revelation 1:7. And so that whole ideal is coming from a lie that the devil told about this very chapter. So the whole beginning part of the prophecy is 70 weeks. Now, remember I told you that when you calculate time prophecies that are future, time prophecies of the future where God is not speaking in a literal way, but he's speaking in a prophetic way. Each day is a year. That's Numbers 14:34. And Ezekiel 4:6. Let's read those. Numbers 14:34. Go in your Bibles with me. Feel free to do so. I know many of y'all might not have your Bibles at this point, at this early hour. That's fine. But Numbers 14:34. And this is talking about the spies who spied out the land, okay? And how when they came back, they gave a 10 of them gave an evil report, and only Joshua and Caleb gave a good report. So God punished all, and it created a rebellion in Israel for those who rebelled. God said, okay, you all, since you want to rebel, you're not going to see Canaan land. But instead, we're going to wander 40 years because there were 40 days that they went and spied out the land, and I'm going to have you wander 40 years instead of going straight into the promised land. Notice what it says. After the number of the days in which ye searched out the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. That's what happened because of their rebellious attitudes, brothers and sisters. When we rebel, we miss a blessing. Don't rebel, friends. Don't rebel against the Lord. You'll miss a blessing. And so, that shows us that as he made the promise, he counted as the example their time in days, but he said it would be manifested in years. He gave a prophecy, a commitment that they would not see and how many years they would wander in the wilderness, and he used the day to equal the year. Now we go to the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 4, most people just go with Ezekiel 4, 6, but you can actually, when you understand what happened, you could actually go to Ezekiel 4, start with verse 1. But let me see if I can pull a note, because I'm going to need a date from that note to help with my illustration here. Okay. So we got 584 B.C. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me just get this right here. Okay. I believe I have it correct, just to be able to explain it right. That's why a lot of people don't deal with Ezekiel 4, 1 through 5, because it's a little more complicated than just looking at verse 6. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it down before thee and portray it upon the city, portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. So what is he basically saying? I want you to make a scaled model. So some of you who know a little bit about agriculture, architecture, they make scaled models, so if you're going to build a campus, they'll have the little campus buildings in a little scaled model, so that it's often used in fundraising so people can donate money because they can see what it's going to look like, and architects will actually make that scaled model. Sometimes when it's just on a piece of paper, a large print, then that's called a master plan. But when they build a model of it, that's called a scaled model. And he's actually asking Ezekiel to make a scaled model. He said, take a tile and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it and build a fort against it and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city and set thy face against it. And it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. And then look at verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. So some people ask the question, did he ever get up to use the bathroom? I am sure he did, friends. Did he ever stop to eat? I'm sure he did. But that was his job, to lay as a testimony to the people on his left side, probably for hours of the day or different parts of the day. He laid on his left side to illustrate the 390 days. Now, what happened, brothers and sisters, if you go to the Bible and you look up Jeroboam, you will find that he's always, almost always mentioned as Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. You see, when God had the kings, you had King David and King Solomon, and Solomon was cruel. He got converted, but his son, Rehoboam, the men came to him and said, listen, will you lighten the load that your father Solomon had put on us? And God was raising up Jeroboam at that time already. And King Rehoboam went to the wise counselors, and they said, listen, if you listen to these people, they'll be your good subjects for your whole life. But then he listened to some of his young comrades, and they say, no, man, you need to exert your power and start from the beginning, letting them know you're not going to take anything from these people. And so when they came to him, he answered them roughly. And they basically said, to your tents, O Israel. But God had raised up Jeroboam to take over the 10 tribes from the entire 12. And so it left Judah and Benjamin for Rehoboam to lead out in, and Jeroboam became the king of the 10 tribes. But then he lost his faith in God, and he was afraid, because when they would go to Jerusalem to worship for the feast days, he thought they were going to defect. You see, when God gives you something, God can keep it, brothers and sisters. We don't have to. God has blessed us with something. Sometimes God blesses you with a husband, blesses you with a wife, and you get all jealous of your husband and wife that God blessed you with, and nothing's going on. And then you end up messing up your whole marriage because you don't trust God to keep him or to keep her, okay? And so, my brothers and sisters, so Jeroboam had that problem, and so he made idols. He set up idols and said to them, to the children of Israel, you don't have to go over to Jerusalem and worship God. This is a symbol of God here, these idols. Well, the Ten Commandments prohibits idol worship, my friend. And so Jeroboam got Israel into idolatry. Okay, and so if you study that, just look up the word Jeroboam. I think I was like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. It was a lot of times. The Bible is very clear that the beginning of Israel's great fall was Jeroboam. So what I'm sharing with you is something very little known. This is actually a brother named Eric Moondahl. He actually studied this and came up with the dates. It was 974 B.C. that took place, where he started Israel sinning. That idolatry took place. And 390 years later, Jerusalem was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? So remember, in Ezekiel chapter 4, he had to lay on his right side for 390 days to illustrate 390 years. It was a real prophecy. And when you count 974 BC which was the time of Jeroboam when he caused Israel's sin, you count 390 years later, you do come to the time that Nebuchadnezzar actually besieged and destroyed Jerusalem, okay? So what he's saying in Ezekiel is he's giving two different times where Jerusalem would be destroyed, one for the sins of Israel and another for the sins of Judah. So what did Israel do? While Judah was faithful to the God of heaven, Israel started doing idolatry. And so they would bear their iniquity for 390 years, symbolized by 390 days, laying on his left side. And that is exactly what happened, brothers and sisters. So again, the dates are 974 BC, and that took and ended in 584 BC, okay? So it was a real prophecy that took place. Most people don't quote this because they don't know this, but the Lord has blessed this brother, and I got his chart, and it makes sense, and I'm sharing it with you. All right. For I have laid upon thee the years of the iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. But what about Judah? And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of Judah 40 days. So it was left side 390 days, right side 40 days. That means 390 years from 974 to 584 for Israel. And what about Judah? So if you ask the question, by the time Christ came, pretty much Israel was gone. I mean, they just kind of all merged into Judah. They had pretty much been destroyed. And so Judah is that entity primarily that is in place when Christ comes. What was the great sin of Judah? Well, the great sin of Judah was murdering Christ, turning him over to Pilate, lying, wanting Barabbas, turning away from truth because he wouldn't follow their evil traditions, okay? That was the sin of Judah. Well, when did that take place? Well, we knew that took place. They decided to kill him when they said he's got to go. Remember in John chapter 11, it is good for one man to die than for the whole nation, okay? That was in John 11. They made a decision to kill him, and if you count 40 years from there, you got A.D. 70. From A.D. 30 to A.D. 70. Now, they actually committed the murder in A.D. 31, but they made a decision to kill Christ. He was determined to be killed. They were just looking for the opportunity in A.D. 30. So you got from A.D. 30, 40 years later, you have A.D. 70, and that's when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem. That's what you read about in the first chapter of the Great Controversy, the destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't even intend to wipe out the temple, but they had made the soldiers so mad, taunting them. You see that? You have to understand what God had allowed to happen was when the armies of Rome came and it was time for God's people to escape, because Jesus had told them that when you see the abomination of desolation outside the city, the abominable flags and idolatry stuff, coming into the precincts of around the city, it says, let him that is in Judea flee to the mountains. So they thought it was impossible, because how are they going to flee? If they leave, they'll be killed by the Romans. The Romans would take you and put you up on a cross and crucify you to strike terror in the people. But what God did is he caused them to think they saw a ghost, and they ran. We don't know to this day what they saw, but they ran like they had seen a ghost. And then the Jewish people that were persecuting the Christians ran after them. They thought God had delivered them into their hands. No, God was delivering his people that they were persecuting. So the people were able to leave and go the other way to the mountains. And when the wicked Jews came back in, their captors were gone. The people they were persecuting and torturing were gone. They had heeded God's counsel. But in their mind, God had delivered them from the Romans. So they figured it was going to happen again when the Romans came back, but it wasn't. God just did that to allow the Christians to get out of Jerusalem, brothers and sisters. And so when the Roman army came back, it was a horrible siege. People were eating their parents because they were starving to death. Parents were eating their children because they were starving to death. And but they were so rebellious. The Romans started getting a little soft-hearted. They didn't want to see these skeleton people wiped out. But the Jews were so adamant because they were demon-possessed, brothers and sisters. And they were just adamant, you know. We teach something regarding Ephesians 6. The devil comes in four stages. It says that we battle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil comes to you with a lie. That's the principality, because that's the first. He's the father of lies. And then when you accept a lie, you fall into temptation. That's the powers, because the demons are there to tempt you. So you start with listening to a lie, then you move into falling into temptation, and then you move under Satan's control. That's the rulers of the darkness of this world, and then you move into full-scale possession by the devil. That's spiritual wickedness in high places. The beautiful thing is, even if you are possessed by the devil, he can't take your will. And if you decide that you want to follow Christ, the devil can't have to let you go, and God will free you. But when you are possessed, you don't even speak your own word. You start saying help, and the devil starts sending curse words out of your mouth. So that's why we have to have spiritual discernment, because some people are calling for help, but they're cursing you out. And as a Christian, you've got to have enough Jesus in you to discern that they're really crying out for help. And sometimes, instead of cursing back, God might have you walk up to him and give him a hug. Can we say amen? And I've had people, I've seen it with my own eyes, people just angry and bitter. And when you hug them, they just break down in tears. They just wanted attention. They just needed love. And so, brothers and sisters, that's another subject, but we're getting back to this point, okay? So, when thou hast accomplished them, lay on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. So in both Numbers 14:34 and in Ezekiel 4:1-6, each day was a year. That's how we know when we go to the 70-week prophecy, brothers and sisters, that we count each day for a year. That's how we know to do that. So as we go back to Daniel chapter 9 and we've set this foundation, let's move forward. He informed me and talked with me, verse 22, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Again, this is linked to the 2300-day prophecy, because that's when Daniel was introduced to Gabriel, who was given the commission to give him understanding. And so now the understanding is about to be given. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for the iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So the Jewish people were given 70 weeks to bring in Christ, to stop sinning and introduce Christ to the world. It was a 70-week probation. Well, each day is a year. So if you have 70 weeks, 7 days in a week, that's 490 years, okay? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. There are many people that get this wrong. There were three Persian kings that made decrees to build Jerusalem. I believe it was Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. All three made decrees to build Jerusalem. But only Artaxerxes, the third of the three, the final of the three, he restored the government. He let them have a police force. He let them have rulership and establish their government. So the Bible says the one you look for is the decree to restore and to build, not just to build. And so a lot of people get it wrong because they take the date of the building from Cyrus, I think it was his name, and then Darius. They were just to build the facility, but they weren't restoring it. But Artaxerxes was used by God to restore it back and give them the ability to govern themselves, okay? So that was 457 B.C., If you calculate 457 B.C. and you calculate 483 years, because it was 7 weeks, 62, so that's 69 weeks, brothers and sisters, not 70. Of the 70, this is the first 69. Let me give it to you again. 7 weeks, 62, so what's 62? That's a score is 20, so that's 60 plus 7 plus 2. That's 69 weeks. That's only 1 week left. Okay? I'll read it again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 80 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Now, unto Messiah the Prince, that means that Jesus would come. However, the Bible already told them that their job was to anoint the Most Holy. So when the Most Holy would come, this was not just his birth. This was not his crucifixion. This was his anointing. That was their job, to anoint him. It wasn't their job to kill him. It's their job to anoint him. And so it says, unto Messiah the Prince, 7 weeks, 80 and 2. Brothers and sisters, that takes you to AD 27. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost at his baptism. He went into the water. John the Baptist baptized him because he asked him to. John didn't want to. He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That word fulfill is very important because people say the law is fulfilled, therefore we don't have to do it. No, fulfill has two words, to fill to the fullest. That means you do it. The very opposite of what the Bible means is what people interpret. To fulfill something is to fill it to the fullest. Jesus came to fulfill the promise. That means he got baptized, okay? So you wouldn't say, okay, well, if it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness, that means we're canceling righteousness. No, we fill it to the fullest. And so people take that the law is fulfilled in Christ. That means we don't have to do it. No, he filled it to the fullest, giving us an example to follow, because the Bible tells us to fulfill the law, my friend. That's not our subject matter, so we're not going to go to the text right now. But I just want to share that with you. So when he got baptized, you can read it in Matthew 3, the Holy Spirit came above him in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So the Spirit of God was anointing Christ at his baptism, and so this prophecy came to fruition, 69 weeks. After 80 and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So after AD 27, he would die. But not for himself. Why? Because he died for you, my friend. Why not for himself? Because he died for me, my friend. Why not for himself? Because he died for prostitutes. He died for drug addicts. He died for thieves. He died for murderers. He died for liars. And you are judging people. And Jesus died for these people. You won't talk to people, but Jesus died for the same people you won't even talk to. You have nothing to do with certain people because you believe a lie about them, and the devil has got you. Now, I don't know whether he's got you in the lying phase, in the temptation, falling into the temptation phase. Some of you are under control, and some of you might even be possessed. You need to call on Jesus. He can deliver you no matter whether you're believing a lie, falling into the temptation, under Satan's control, or under Satan's possession. You need to call on Jesus and ask for forgiveness. You might find out that you might wallow and fall on the ground because the devil's coming out of you. You never thought about that. My brothers and sisters, we read in a book called Desire of Ages that the priests, the high priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were just as possessed with the devil as demoniacs who were foaming at the mouth, but the devil could just use them better in a more professional capacity. So you can be in a professional capacity and be totally possessed by the devil. Preachers possessed by the devil. Have mercy on us, Lord. So it says he would be cut off, not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now notice what it says. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Why? Because God's people are responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. The Jewish people are responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. Even though God used Rome to do it, the people were responsible for that destruction because of their sin. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So go back. You only had 70. So So you already learned there were 69, but you start from the baptism of Jesus. You don't catapult it into the future. That's poor exegesis of the Bible. The Bible said it's 70, so you got 69 of them, and then it says he's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week. He already said you got 70. You keep it in succession. He shall confirm the covenant for many, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That was at the death of Christ, which was previously talked about. Messiah will be cut off. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Jesus will be gone. The Spirit of God will be gone. The Jewish nation is no longer the chosen people, my friend. Even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Friends, this is the first 490 years of the 2300-day prophecy. And so when you keep counting the rest of the years, let me just do my calculations real quick. You had 2300 and you subtract the first 490. You have 1810 left, 1810 days left, which would be 1810 years left, and it takes you to 1844. The sanctuary would be cleansed because Jesus would move at that time. At that time, he moved from the holy to the most holy place. That's what Baptists used to believe. That's what Methodists used to believe. That's what Presbyterians used to believe. That's what Episcopalians used to believe. Friends, there were no Seventh-day Adventists at that time. See, people try to link that whole disappointment to Seventh-day Adventism. They weren't even in existence yet. But the faithful who understood that they had learned some things from the Bible did not go back to worldliness like most of the Christians at that time, and they kept studying. And then God raised up with 50 people. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, friends. And I'm not here to promote an organization. I'm here to promote a movement here because it's a movement. Organizations can fall, they can fail, and they have fallen and they have failed. But the movement is still the true movement, brothers and sisters. And so people miss that. They don't understand that. And as a result of that, there's going to be a lot of people lost because they're waiting on the conference to tell them, okay, well, it's time to believe the Sunday law is near, or it's time to, or you can get this vaccine, but don't get that vaccine, or get all the vaccines, or whatever the conference says, that's what they do. And brothers and sisters, we need to start listening to Jesus. We need to start listening to him because man will disappoint you. Do not put your trust in man. They will disappoint you. Put your confidence in Christ and follow him and connect with those who follow him. I'll say that. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. Brothers and sisters, God is merciful. He's good. These are wonderful prophecies. God authenticates himself with prophecy. It says, again, I am God and there is none else. It says, remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And there's another little phrase in there. I'm memorizing it. Let me just get it right. Where was that? Isaiah 46. There's another little phrase, and then we'll wrap it up here. It's good to memorize scripture, brothers and sisters. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So that's the phrase I missed. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So let's do it again. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Let's do the whole thing. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Praise God. I think I got it. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The devil was behind all of the entrance of the various versions of the Bible. Why do I say that? Because people stopped memorizing scripture. Because you couldn't say it all together. We used to say it all together in church. Well, one person is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The other person's reading their Bible and says, the shepherd that I have is the Lord. The Lord is the shepherd of my family. or whatever, you know, you have different versions. You're not going to memorize scripture and then start quoting the scripture together as a people. The devil was behind that. Anything he can do to keep the word of God from being memorized in our minds, friends. That's what the devil does. So I stick with the King James. I'm not saying it's flawless. It has a few little grammatical errors and things of this nature where they, but it's the safest version, and you can rightly divide and still get the truth even with the minor flaws you might see in grammar and the understanding of the translators. They made a few mistakes. So in other words, they were affected by Catholicism. So when Jesus said, telling the thief on the cross, I say unto you today, you'll be with me in paradise, they put the comma in the wrong place. They put the comma in the place that would say that day he was going to paradise. But he didn't go to paradise that day. How do we know? Because when he awakened and Mary Magdalene came to him, he said, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So on Sunday morning, he had not yet gone to paradise, friends. But then he let them touch him after that point because he said, touch my hands and my side and feel to doubting Thomas. That means he had gone to paradise at that point. So the comma's in the wrong place. They made a few mistakes, but the King James Version, brothers and sisters, you're intelligent. Stop insulting your own intelligence. Thee means you, okay? I will help thee. That means I will help you. Thou means you. Thou shalt not. You shall not, okay? You're intelligent. Stop insulting your intelligence. Oh, I can't handle all the these and thous. Stop insulting your intelligence. This was English, old English. This is what they used to say, thee and thou instead of you and you. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, we can get back to the King James. Let's do it. Let's start memorizing scripture again like we used to. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm, I believe that Psalm, I think it's Psalm 118, but I'm going to find it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start memorizing scripture and knowing where they are. Thy word. I was right. I said Psalm 118, Psalm 119, Psalm 119:11. Start with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, verse 11 that we're on, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Study the word, friends, from the King James Version. Memorize the scripture. I'm not here to tell you I have a scripture that says that you must study from that, and we can get different insights from time to time by reading other versions, but I'm telling you, we need, the devil brought in a bunch of versions, and then people stop memorizing the scripture. You stop putting it and hiding it in your heart, you won't have a barrier against sin. God is merciful. So we studied the 70-week prophecy, brothers and sisters, and it ended in A.D. 34, and in A.D. 34, that's when the gospel went to the Gentiles, and is when Paul got his conversion. He was actually Saul, got converted from Saul to Paul. That's AD 27 to AD 34. That ended the probationary time of the Jews. At that time, after that, a Jew is not a Jew, Paul said in Romans 2, who is one outwardly. That means outward in the flesh, your nationality. A Jew is one inwardly. So now God's people are spiritual Jews, not literal Jews. Now, there are some things in Bible prophecy that are happening over in the Middle East with Islam and Israel and other entities. But that doesn't mean that the people are God's special chosen people. But that is still considered a territory where Jesus came, and it's a territory where Jesus will come again because he's going to put his foot on Mount Olive at his third coming. All right? So, lots to talk about. Let's keep studying together. I'm going to have a prayer at this time. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this early morning Bible study. We ask that you will continue to bless us as we learn, study, memorize your word. Help us, Lord, to memorize these verses to get back to the King James Version so that we might be speaking the same word. Give us grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, God is merciful. At this time, we're going to have our closing song. We're going to invite you to join us. We're doing a series on physiology from the Bible. That's at 12. I'll be posting something on Facebook. We're talking about the gastrointestinal system today. And I'd like to invite you all to join us. And we're doing this series because it coincides with a course we're doing virtually on the wellness coaching course to train medical missionaries. So the Lord is merciful. I'm going to ask my wife if she would have another prayer for us, if she's available. And after that, we'll have our closing song.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to study. And now we pray that your spirit will continue to abide with us throughout this day as we spend time in your word. Help us to meditate. Help us to grow. Help us to learn and to understand. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in